This is Good Together, the podcast that inspires you to create positive change in the world every day by being a conscious consumer. I'm your host, Laura Alexander Wittig, founder of Brightly.eco, and I started this podcast a few years ago because I wanted a place to talk about the gray areas around sustainability and how being a conscious consumer can be challenging and confusing, but it's totally doable. So join me in the name of reducing waste and living positively in the name of the planet.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, Good Together listeners. I hope you're doing well. I am coming to you with a new series in mind. So as you know, I am now the only host of this podcast. Been doing that for quite a while, a few years now. And we figured, while we have some amazing guests that come on to the podcast, we figured, how about once a month, I will kind of highlight a few different news stories that I'm seeing in the sustainability realm and just chat about them with you, because I don't know about you, but if you are not trying to seek out news about a specific subject, I find it very hard to do so, unless it's something related to, I don't know, like bad news, like political uprising or just all the stuff. Like, I guess what I'm trying to say is the news that is fed to me is not really the news that I want to read. And I think it's, you know, something that seems to be felt by a lot of us. So if you're trying to find, you know, more information about different sustainability wins or just like things happening in the ecosystem, I'm going to try and highlight some. I can't promise that I'm going to find everything amazing, but this one I came up with earlier this afternoon. So let's chat about it and see, you know, see if some of these topics interest you. But as always, don't forget to leave me feedback in the various forums. And I also, of course, will link to the articles that I'm talking about in the show notes. So I'm not going to theme these either. At first I thought, well, yeah, maybe we'd, you know, January, we'd talk about stuff related to, like, you know, specific things going on at the beginning of the year, etc. But you know what, who cares? Like, let's just go into things that are, I find kind of interesting. Okay, so first off, and actually, before we get into it, when we think about sustainability, right, the whole point of this podcast is to talk about conscious consumerism. So when I chat about these different topics, remember, that's the lens that I'm taking, right? I'm taking the lens of, okay, we are all consumers. How do we consume better? How do we consume more thoughtfully? And how does this color the mindset that we go into when we think about, quote, unquote, sustainability? Okay. So getting into it, one of the first things I ran across as I was doing some research for this episode was there was a few days ago, I'm recording this end of January, a few days ago, a big, like, I feel like there's like a lot of unseen forces at play around the world, as we all know, but there's like a lot of kind of secretive, like, I'm not going to say shadow because I'm not a conspiracy theorist, like, secretive bodies of regulation that are like international that can absolutely affect things like the stock market, you know, larger business, you know, currents, etc. And we just don't know about them as consumers. So this one I thought was particularly interesting. There is a global sustainability watchdog called the Global Sustainable Investment Alliance. And they are it's actually a group of accountants of all things, accountants and people who are, you know, obviously very business minded. And they're, you know, thinking about, okay, we are looking at this problem of sustainability from a business angle, and they're actually pretty influential. And they have actually proposed a new ethics code to combat greenwashing. So this ethics code is going to hold businesses accountable for their sustainability claims and promote transparency in reporting. And the reason why this matters is because businesses go out and do, they mean they're required to by law, a lot of these large corporations are required to report out certain things to shareholders. And what this, ethics code is going to be, requiring is that there's going to be really specific metrics, really specific goals in place for people to be able to say like, oh, well, we're more green, or we've done this initiative, it's better for the world. They're actually coming together and saying, no, we're sick of greenwashing. We're sick of like, some C-suite person coming up with a bunch of metrics and then sending it over to the communications department to put a spin on it from a greenwashing perspective. And I think, in addition to just like the broader impact that this is going to have, as long as businesses adopt this, right? Like, we can't be so naive to think every business is going to do this, but this group actually is very influential and is composed of, decision makers at some of the biggest corporations around the world. So I'm hopeful that this will catch on. But again, like thinking about the overall impact that this could have, I think is huge, because what we don't realize oftentimes is when news articles get written about certain sustainability initiatives, and actually we're going to talk about one at next because I wanted to give you an example. Oftentimes these articles are based on press releases from corporate communications departments. So, requiring that brands, when they come out and say, look, this is what we've done X, Y, and Z in the greater good, requiring that they have some sort of like hard and fast data behind those, claims is really good. And there, a new report just came out actually and said that 40% of consumers globally have encountered misleading environmental claims. And I mean, that's good old reports. I would say 100% of us have encountered greenwashing or misleading environmental claims. But I guess this poll was specifically asking people if they were aware of it. So I guess that's the difference. Like, of course, we've all been victims of greenwashing, but the scary thing is how few of us actually realize that it's going on. So it is really crucial that we as consumers continue to put on our critical thinking hat as we think about sustainability claims, and that we support companies that are going above and beyond, that are saying, hey, I'm part of this global sustainable investment alliance. I'm going to go do this criteria when I'm, putting out reports or press releases. So I think that's really important. Okay. So this is big group trying to push for change. The next article I thought was interesting that I came across today was Kroger. So the reason why I want to bring this up is because I just talked about big corporations doing, good things for the world, but oftentimes not so good things for the world. And the specter of greenwashing really exists. Kroger is huge. And if you're based in the US, it's a massive, massive grocery chain. And they also own a variety of brands. So I grew up going to Kroger itself in the South, but when I moved to Seattle, there's a big chain here called Fred Meyer, which I don't know the history of Fred Meyer, I don't know why it's called that, but they are owned by Kroger now. I didn't even know that until I went to the aisle and I saw some Kroger branded generic items. And so anyway, this article that got written, of course, it's based on a press release, but Kroger is going to prioritize pollinator health in its supply chain. And they want to do that because they would like to address declining bee populations. And so that I think is interesting because, from a consumer perspective, we've heard all of these grocery store chains, and actually we'll link to the grocery store chain ranking that we did a few years ago. Like, we've heard about all of them talk about the problem of sustainability from a very like packaging intensive perspective, like, trying to have less plastics or encouraging customers to bring their own bags. And, all of these, I feel like that's where grocery stores love to go. They love to go to either packaging or talking about like quote unquote organic produce and organic things, which are two very important things, but they're also not the whole picture. So the fact that Kroger is coming forward and saying, look, we are going to prioritize sourcing from farms that use pollinator-friendly practices, and we're going to partner with our suppliers to promote diversity is important. And they're, you know, they don't go into a ton of specifics on this, because again, it's like a new initiative that they're rolling out. But when we think about what I talked about previously from a greenwashing perspective, if we start to hold corporations accountable when they come out and say things like this, like they're saying, okay, we're gonna partner with farms to you know, be better for pollinators. That's great. Like, that's an amazing thing. We also should say, like, well, what are the specifics? What are the things that they're actually gonna do versus just the lip service that we're getting? So this is me saying, like, awesome, Kroger, thank you for doing this, and thank you for, like, taking maybe like a less obvious bend on sustainability for your customers. However, I want to hear more specifics. So we'll link to more information about this in the show notes, but this was just like an example for you that I'm thinking about, like, well, how can we start to push a little bit more? However, again, it is important to support companies that do prioritize these environmental stewardship type practices. And you know, the funny thing is, when I think about grocery stores that everybody loves, Kroger is not the top of the list, right? What is the top of the list for you? I think of Trader Joe's, and I think of Aldi. And Aldi was actually our top grocery pick a few years ago. They have a bunch of different initiatives that are friendly to conscious consumers. But the thing that I was going to mention was Trader Joe's. I love Trader Joe's, but man, I cannot get over the amount of plastic in that place. Like, even when you go into the produce section, everything, like, not everything, a lot of stuff is in, like, plastic. Like, even where, you know, like, normally they, grocery stores have those displays where they got all the oranges out and stuff. Like, I think Trader Joe's just has everything in plastic. And so that's always been my beef with Trader Joe's. I love their food, and I think it's very inventive and cool, but come on, you guys gotta get rid of that plastic. To another interesting article in the, I guess, like, consumerism piece of sustainability, the conscious consumerism piece, is the world's largest cruise ship has set sail from Miami. And that is, on its face, like, not news in the sustainability realm. It's kind of news in the opposite direction. So this new cruise ship has capacity for over 7,500 passengers and various entertainment amenities. And that's crazy to me. And I think that when we, rather than being so excited about having such a massive, a massive thing taking place, like, we need to also talk a little bit about what is the environmental impact of this. And actually, when I looked this up, I thought it was very interesting to know that, like, the key points of a lot of these articles, they do this now, where if you don't feel like reading the whole article, there's key points, which, I mean, take it or leave it. Most of the time when I saw different outlets covering this, they were mentioning the environmental concerns. And, you know, there's, like, a quote in here, it's called, like, the biggest, baddest ship on the planet, which I'm trying to figure out, like, where the attribution was. Oh, the CEO. I just saw my notes. The CEO of Royal Caribbean called this the biggest, baddest ship on the planet. To me, that seems negative, but, you know, they did try and do a few things a little bit more eco-friendly. It is built to run on liquefied natural gas, which does burn a little cleaner than more conventional marine fuels, but still has high levels of methane. And you can imagine, methane is 80 times more potent than carbon dioxide when it comes to greenhouse gas emissions. So that's not great. Like, we don't need to be running ships on fuel that, like, emits that much methane. I that's absurd. And I think, you know, this is just not something that's good. And as a matter of fact, they have a scientist actually in the CNBC article that we'll link to. There's a scientist his name's Brian Comer. He is the director of the Marine Program at the International Council on Clean Transportation. He's saying that this new sort of fuel source that they're going to use is actually emitting over 120% more life cycle greenhouse gases than even that traditional marine oil. So, like, what? Like, I, again, why they made that decision, I'm not sure, but it is not, like, that's just not a great thing. Of course, the response from Royal Caribbean was, oh, well, we scrutinize every kilowatt of energy used for energy efficiencies and emission reductions. And I mean, eh. I personally, myself, have never been a big cruise ship person. I've never been on a cruise. There's nothing the matter with going on cruises. But, well, there's nothing the matter. Of course, there's things the matter with cruises. There's things the matter with most of the things that we do in our lives from a sustainability perspective. So I'm not trying to vilify cruises, I guess is what I'm saying. I do think that we absolutely need to be pushing these large-scale cruise corporations, like, greenwashing. Again, they're over here saying, well, this burns cleaner. Then we have the scientist over here saying, no, that's actually not the full story. So again, the more that we can, like, read these articles, sit with the information, and then look to sources that are actually doing more in-depth reporting and, like, getting perspectives from scientists is key. And that's, you know, why I wanted to call out this article as well, as we kind of think about the theme of greenwashing. The last article I found was interesting, and actually this was one of the most, when I went out to kind of research this is one of the most rewritten, or I mean, like, reblogged, that sounds really old, like, rewritten pieces over and over again, was talking about the amazing benefits that could come from adopting more sustainable diets. And The Verge, we'll link to The Verge's take on this. I like The Verge. They're typically pretty fact-based in their reporting, which, by the way, there's massive layoffs continue across the media space. If you can, try and support publications that you believe in, even if it's just a few bucks a month. We really do need, like, actual reporters out here fact-checking things and getting to the bottom of these really important issues. So, sidebar, side tangent. So The Verge, their take on this report that came out is that there's actually $10 trillion, T with a T, dollars of benefits that can actually come if we overhaul our food system. And what do we think is the main perspective here? I mean, to me, it's waste. And there's a quote in this article that says, our food systems are destroying more value than they create. And I think that is extremely true. We have so much is the matter with the way that we, you know, do the way that we conduct ourselves from a modern agriculture standpoint. We have deforestation. We have the usage of animals and crops in a way that is not responsible, is not sustainable to the environment. And, you know, there are so many things that flow downstream from this, I would say, like, general just mishandling that we've done. You know, I think there's a bunch of, in addition to, one thing I liked about this article is as they were kind of discussing the benefits, a huge benefit that comes from it is health. And that's something we don't actually, I think, talk enough about on this podcast, which is the direct impact that living sustainably, more sustainably, can have on your health. And there are so many health problems that stem from lack of access to healthy, sustainably produced food. We think about diabetes, hypertension, cancer, etc. A lot of this is born by, you know, a lot of these illnesses are born by people that are, you know, using diets that are full of processed products and high in sugar, salts, and fats, etc. So, if in general we can improve the efficiency of our food systems, get more of this healthy food into communities that don't typically have access to it, like, people are going to live longer, they're going to be healthier, and we're going to save a ton of money from a healthcare perspective. Of course, there's so many nuances there. People would have to tweak their diets. They have to get off of Ozempic. No, I'm just kidding. I hate it when people say that. Like, that's a total lifestyle choice if people want to do that. But, you know, I do think that, you know, one of the solutions that this article puts forward that I thought was really good is, like, the government, we talk a lot about this, the government needs to step in here. The government across the world, like, the when I say, quote unquote, the government, I recognize there's multiple governments. I'm just talking about the theoretical one. like, when we think about the big power the governments have, it's all money and it's all tax related. And especially in the United States, speaking from someone that lives here, and that's mostly what my expertise is in, we provide so many subsidies to farmers, to corporations, to, you know, small, medium businesses based on things that the government deems to be good. So if the government was to come and say, look, we are going to start to shift some of those subsidies away from corn, right? Like there's so many subsidies and tax benefits, et cetera, to growing corn, putting corn in everything. That's why we have high fructose corn syrup. But maybe we start to like take some of those away and shift them towards programs that are going to, you know, do what we talked about earlier, get healthier, more sustainable food to communities that need it the most. Like if we started to do that, or we even said, hey, we're going to give you a big tax break if you implement a methane capture system on your farm related to all of your cow farts. We all know about this, but it's actually a big deal. Like there are solutions in place. So if the government starts to say, we care about this, but not only do we care about it from a lip service perspective, we're going to start to shift tax subsidies. That is going to be huge. And you know, I mean, in general, I would love to like look back at the history of our supply chains related to agriculture and conscious consumption and say like, oh, you know, consumers are having an impact. We are having an impact when it comes to demanding more organic foods, demanding like quote unquote healthier foods. But there was a huge rise of global meat consumption between 1992 and 2016 rose 500%. And The Verge points this out, but like livestock have the biggest impact on climate when it comes to food production. So there's a lot of reasons behind all of that, but ultimately if we can make it easier for people to shift towards more plant-focused diets. They don't, like my family and I, we still eat meat, but we have, you know, set it aside a day or two a week. Like if we can make that choice easier for families to take, regardless of income, regardless of where you're living, that's going to be a huge, huge deal. And so I really invite you, we'll include a link to a few of these takes, because a few different publications have, I think, various takes on like this quote unquote $10 trillion benefit to, you know, making our food supply chain system more sustainable. But I think it's worth thinking about and thinking about your potential impact that you can have when you make a meatless Monday meal, or you decide to, you know, try your hand at growing food, growing your own vegetables. Like thinking about how you yourself can have a positive impact on this supply chain is interesting, fully knowing that like you and I are not going to necessarily be the ones to change a massive supply chain. Like that has to come from, you know, larger actors, but we can also reduce our reliance on these supply chains. And that does have an impact on their bottom line. So that's why we talk about this stuff here on Good Together. We understand that the problem at hand in terms of being kinder to the planet and sort of returning to a lifestyle that is less harmful to our earth, like that is a huge problem and it can seem super overwhelming. So the reason why we try and talk about these things in very bite-sized, some might say overly simplified ways is because I don't want you to get overwhelmed, and I want you to feel like when we talk about this stuff, here's a few different ways that we can, you know, kind of shift the narrative and feel more empowered by this information versus doom and gloom, because I'm sure your newsfeed is like mine where it's all doom and gloom all the time. And I say overly simplified because we got a review on that the other day. Somebody said, oh, you know, Laura doesn't talk about stuff in detail. And I realize that sometimes we don't, like, for instance, with this episode, like I wanted to talk about a variety of articles, so I can't get into the ins and outs of every single topic, but just know that we do have episodes where we do deep dives. We've been doing this podcast for 3 years now, so we have lots of deep dives, and we also have links to lots of deep dives in our show notes and on brightly.eco. So by all means, please don't think that I am where the buck stops when it comes to information. I'm just trying to expose you to some. And I hope you like this new format. So let me know if you have nominations for articles you want me to talk about next month. Shoot us an email. It's hello@brightly.eco. I check that email inbox. I'll get it myself and would love to hear your take. All right. Hope you're doing well, get together listeners, and I'll see you next time. Thanks for joining us on another episode of Good Together. To get show notes and more, head to brightly.eco/podcast. Finally, don't forget to join in on the conversation with us on social media. You'll find us on almost everything at brightly.eco. Don't forget, we're all on this journey together, so have fun putting the planet first and stay curious.